Hey y'all, welcome to Gather Together, and I'm your host, Katie King. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know about a product that I've been taking. Collagen is such a hot topic right now, and I finally found one that works great for me. Not only does it support healthy hair, skin, and nails, it also improves joint mobility and reduces joint discomfort. If you're interested, I have a link below for $10 off, or you can also find me on social media. Check it out and let me know what you think. All right, guys, so me and Kobe King are back at it.
Don't go there. If you guys hear some noise in the background, it's my Carl's Coffee finishing up on this late night. Got to help me stay up. So shout out again to Carl's Coffee, but I'm super pumped about it. I'm about to go pour a cup right now.
Shameless plug. So we left off on part two. Now we're getting in part three. Maybe we can finish up in this last part. Who knows?
I doubt it.
So we left off with finding out we were pregnant with Oliver.
Yeah.
And just how upset, honestly, that I was.
Mm-hmm.
We can see now how much of a blessing it was, obviously, but we're talking about going through the feelings then, just how kind of like depressed I ended up getting. So I guess if we want to start there.
Yeah. So maybe go through that a little bit. I don't think you talk much about how depressed you were and stuff. Like, all right. I mean, for me, we found out and it really, you know, I don't know that it really, you know, like I was excited because I'm like, okay, you know, I think I may have mentioned it last, like, obviously God's not going to, like, I knew, even though I wasn't really a true follower yet, I still knew that, like, there, God did have a plan for me, and, you know, I did trust that, at least, and so I think that, you know, it kind of, you know, it was, I saw it as a blessing, even though I wasn't just, like, jumping for joy,
right.
I still saw it as a blessing. So how did it make you feel? I mean, how was that, you know, like going into a little bit of a depression?
And yeah. So, I mean, it's hard because you're having another kid and after going through two miscarriages and then having a perfect little girl and then you're pregnant again, you would think I would just be over the moon excited.
Right.
But when I found out, I remember calling my best friend and I was like, this cannot be real. I found out on April Fool's Day, and I was honestly, like, so, I mean, I don't really know, I don't want to say sad or upset, but surprised.
Right.
I guess that's a good word. I didn't know how to feel.
Yeah.
And so, there was just so much going on. I mean, we just, the last month, actually, I found out my husband cheated on me. Now, here we are trying to fix it. Now, I'm pregnant. I'm the one that has to carry that. You know, like, I'm the pregnant one. So, like, I go through all the emotions, all that.
Right.
So, I just didn't know how to feel. And I had never struggled with, like, anxiety or depression. But that's when it started, when I was pregnant with him. And it was really rough. I didn't know how to talk about it because I didn't know what it was. And I almost didn't think, like, depression. You know, I didn't think I could go through that.
Right.
I always thought if you were going through that, like, just snap out of it. You know, like, it's not a big deal. Depression isn't that deep.
Yeah.
And then here I am going through it myself.
It's different.
Oh, like, it is a hole that you cannot climb out of yourself. For sure.
Right.
And you can't do it alone, and you can't do it really with anyone but God.
Yeah.
Sure, there's medication to mask it, but you need God to truly pull you out of that. And I had to realize that myself.
Yeah.
I kept trying to rely on my mom or my sisters or my friends, and they couldn't, they just, as encouraging as they were, they couldn't pull me out of that depression. And I just felt empty and then guilty because I'm carrying this baby who I'm so blessed to carry, but here I am feeling like this, so I felt guilty. So it was a lot of emotions. It was just hard. It was hard to handle. I didn't know how to explain it, so yeah, just up until probably the last month of pregnancy, I was depressed. And I would say finally, once it got closer to time, because that gave us 9 months to work on our marriage, you know?
Yeah.
So finally, at the end,
things started looking a little bit better in our marriage, and so it was easier probably to, I mean, like, it was just,
yeah,
some other things were coming together, so I see.
We had moved into a townhome that I loved. It gave us, like, some more space. It just, it was something new, something for me to do to keep my mind off things, you know?
Yeah.
And I had started, well, I was working at a daycare. That gave me something. So, yeah, it's just things started to change. So I thought that with these things changing and keeping myself busy, it would help pull me out of that depression.
Yeah.
So, it was better times toward the end of the pregnancy. And yeah, then I don't really remember much of, like, our marriage during that time, I guess, because I had, you know, I was pregnant and I was feeling that way, and I just,
yeah, a lot of stuff probably got blocked out. I would say that it was a time of healing. I might help you through that a little bit. To me, it was a time of healing. It was a time of, it just kind of, you know, like I said, because I was viewing it as a blessing, and even though I wasn't jumping for joy, still, I'm going to reiterate that, like, I wasn't necessarily just excited, because I knew what came with having a child. You know, it was more responsibility for me, and I wasn't necessarily the type of person that liked a whole lot of responsibility. I ran from responsibility typically, and so, you know, but I was viewing it as somewhat of a blessing. So it was, you know, for me, it was kind of a time of healing. It kind of seemed like our family was coming together. It made sense, you know, and like you said, we moved to a townhome that was just awesome. I mean, it was fantastic. It was everything we wanted. And, you know, it was right there in our hometown. We weren't away from everybody, which we had tried a couple of times, you know, yeah, trying to get away. We had moved, like we talked about in the first part, you know, we'd moved to Sylacauga, and then I don't even think we touched on when we moved to downtown Birmingham. But, you know, like, we were just trying to get away in a way, I feel like. And so this was perfect. Like, we had a nice place of our own, right there in our hometown. So that was cool. And I think, you know, crazy enough, like, I know material things shouldn't really define our happiness and stuff, but that just set us up for something, I feel like. I mean, it just kind of gave us a,
We didn't have anything else to look forward to, this, like, to bring us joy.
Yeah.
We let this give us joy.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I feel like, I mean, for me, the whole pregnancy, it just, I mean, obviously we were working through, and I think we still did some counseling for a while, if I'm not mistaken. We were working through, you know, me cheating on you. And so I think just, time does heal things, and, you know, that wasn't a ton of time, and I know, you know, it takes a long time to get over something like that, but I feel like, you know, that was working through the initial phase,
right,
of, you know, hey, my husband just cheated on me, probably,
right,
and for me, I just cheated on my wife, but she still wants to be with me, so
yeah,
working through that too. I know we started going to church a lot more, or I did. You were already going, but I know during your pregnancy with Oliver, that's when I really started diving in at Move Church a good bit. You know, not diving in and becoming a part, because I honestly, unfortunately, I'm still not really there yet. I'm not the type of person that you know. I'm typically a busy person, and that's a terrible excuse. But anyway. I haven't really dove into like serve teams and stuff, but I was going and I was at least present. Whether or not I was really paying much attention, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I still wasn't, again, to that level of trusting God with everything. I just kind of wanted to handle it myself, you know.
Yeah.
I've always known that there's a God. I've always believed in that. I'd always believed in that. But there was just a level of, okay, you know, what am I really going to put in Him, though? You know, I'm going to put the things that I want to, but the big things, the things that I want to control, I'm going to keep those. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make myself feel better there, but I think a lot of people struggle with that. And, you know, it took me a long time to realize that I literally have to put every ounce of trust from every area of my life in God before I'm really going to see any significant changes in me. We get through the pregnancy, Oliver's born, which, by the way, quick story on Oliver's birth. Katie wakes me up at, what was it, about five in the morning, and we lived, like we said, in our hometown, and not far from Katie's parents, and we already kind of had the plan that we would call her parents and take Riley over there on our way to the hospital. Well,
no, Owen was 5 o'clock in the morning. Oliver was 6 in the morning.
Okay. Well, whatever time it was, I just remember that this knucklehead here, Katie, decides that, I'm just going to, her being like the all natural nut that she is, this crunchy whatever. She's like, I'm just going to labor at home, and I'm not even going to wake my husband up. I'm just going to do all this. And you may have tried to, what you may have said, because I'm a heavy sleeper, you may have been like, hey, I think I might be going into labor or something. I don't remember. I just remember that when I woke up, it was, hey, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, crap. So we get in the car, and we rush, and when we take Riley to, my in-laws, and, you know, and then we get to the hospital, and awesome experience, but scary as crap. We get there, and all of an only maybe 45 minutes, was it 45, maybe an hour, goes by from the time we got in a room, like got in the hospital in a room, to the time Oliver was in your arms.
Yeah, so I started having, woke up at 6 with contractions, and he was born at 7:24.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it was quick. I mean,
like I grabbed towels on the way because I was scared we weren't going to make it.
Like, it scared me to death. And so we're in this room, and Katie's like, hey, you need to go get the doctor. And I'm like, okay, well, I think, you know, that's like, you don't just go summon a doctor. Like, I think they just, you know, she knows what's going on. Like, we're good. And so, like, progressively, Katie gets a little more angry with me to tell me, no, you need to go get the doctor now. So I walk outside, and there's like this poor little nurse, and they were really understaffed. This poor little nurse, and she's like, hey, you know, she's in the middle of a C-section right now, so she'll be in there as soon as she can. And I was like, yo, listen, I don't think she can finish that C-section before this. But I'm like, is there somebody else? Like, what can we do? It all worked out. Dr. Cooper got in there. Like, you were pushing.
Yeah, and I was like, Colby, I am the one having this child. Go get the doctor. Like,
yeah, you were intense, and you did. You were already pushing before Dr. Cooper. I mean, I remember talking. The first words Dr. Cooper said when she walked in the room. You already. I mean, I know this. I don't know if this is too graphic. You already had like your legs back, like by yourself.
I mean, ready to go.
Yeah, and Dr. Cooper in the calmest. I don't know if I should be saying her name. I don't guess that matters.
It's fine.
In the calmest voice I've ever heard, just the most nurturing, she said, good job, Mama. And I'm like, don't act like this is normal, lady. Like, I'm over here about to freaking pass out.
Oh, Lord.
I've got, like, a cold rag on my head.
Hence why we had the next one at home.
Yes. So, I've got, like, a cold rag on my head. Anyway, all of this, and I think my favorite part of the whole story is, so, you know, you spend 2 days in the hospital. And we had packed our bags, so we threw our bags in the car, and we didn't come home for 2 days, you know. We get home, and my neighbor's standing outside, and when I pull up, my garage door is wide open to our townhome, and my neighbor's like, I've been standing out here for you know, basically 2 days, only going, and she's like, I've been sitting in my lawn chair in my garage making sure nobody breaks in. Aww. Because you left your, she said, I figured your wife went into, you know, yeah, labor, but I, she said, I didn't want to go in your house and an alarm trip off. I was going to go close it for you. And she's just so sweet and telling me all this. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. You know, it's fine. We had like a door from the garage to the inside of the house that was locked anyway. But I was just like, holy crap. We got out of there in such a hurry that the garage door was left wide open for 2 days.
It's so funny seeing Colby when I go into labor because he is like so frazzled. Like he's just running around with his head cut off. He's like grabbing all the things. He's like, let's go, let's go. And I'm like, okay, chill. Like, I got this. It's fine.
This last one was awesome, though. Yeah. I mean, like, it stressed me out a little because there were, like, so many people in such a small area. So having, and we'll get in, I guess we'll talk about your home birth later. I definitely want to. But, the last one was probably my favorite. Probably about it. It was my favorite birth.
Yes.
However, it was crammed.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that when we get to that.
Anyway,
birth.
We ended up stopping Move Church at the end of my pregnancy or either after Oliver was born for about 3 months.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was before or after he was born, but anyway.
I was just like kind of over everything. Just because of how the whole depression thing, like, it just, if you've gone through it, it just literally takes everything out of you. And so I was just done with everything.
Right.
And then plus being 41 weeks pregnant, you know, all the things, like, I just let it just tear me away from it, you know.
Right.
The place that I needed to be.
Yeah.
So Oliver was born, and you get a new job. Or had you had the job while I was pregnant? The baseball facility.
Oh, no, I had the job while you were pregnant.
Okay. So, it seemed to be going good.
Yeah, it wasn't, we say a different job, it was a different job. I, for some reason, thought it was a good idea to purchase an already existing baseball training facility. Something that I always wanted to do, you know, or I say always, for years I've wanted to do it. And it seemed like a great idea, but it made me very, it ate up a lot of time.
And, a lot.
And it took me away from you guys. It was financially worth it for a while, but we'll get into why that tanked in a little while. But I had started that, and, you know, so I really wasn't there. That was before Oliver was born, but... I'd been doing that. In fact, I bought that facility in June. It was June because it's the end of the travel baseball season.
Okay.
So I bought it in June. He was born in December. So I'd had it for a few months.
Yeah. So, which I don't really remember it during my pregnancy because I was just so disconnected anyways. But I do remember after Oliver was born, I remember noticing, like, I finally noticed, hey, you're not here, you know.
You needed more help.
Yeah, that, knowing that I needed more help definitely made it obvious. And so I guess if you kind of want to start, because I don't know, how do you want to get into this? I don't know.
Get into what? What exactly?
I guess our next situation. Okay, so you had the baseball thing, and it brought in, like you said, it brought in good money.
More than you even knew.
Right. Not that I ever saw that money.
Yeah.
So, we lived there...
For a year.
So, Oliver was like 6 months old when we moved. Right?
Yeah, roughly.
Okay. So this is kind of where I remember it starting for me.
Yeah. We moved from there to a little bitty shack.
It was tiny.
Yes,
two-bedroom, two-bath. The kitchen couldn't
No, two-bedroom, one-bath.
Two-bedroom, one-bath. Kitchen couldn't even hold a kitchen table.
Right. It was tiny. Yeah. Guys, by the way, if you hear like pitter patter, it is our dog Perry. He's just walking around and scratching and doing what he wants to do because he is the king of this house.
Pawpaw so, Perry is what we call him.
Yeah. So
he's old.
Pawpaw here is, if you hear that, just ignore it. But anyway, yeah, so the reason that we had to move from this nice townhome to this small shack was, again, my fault. It was all me again. Elite was the name of my facility that I owned, and it started to go downhill financially. And we tried to keep it afloat, but a friend of mine, kind of jumped in and tried to help me, you know, revive it, and it didn't work. But, you know, I was in denial about why it failed. I was like, you know, well, it's just people aren't wanting to pay for training and this and that, and it's this and it's that, whatever. And I didn't want to own those mistakes. So, it was just like, I didn't want to admit what actually happened, so I blamed it on all of those type of things, you mm-hmm. know. And my friend and I mutually decided, look, it's time to just close it down. I had been in the plumbing business before with my family. It's something that's started, you know, generations ago, the plumbing industry for us, and it was just one of those things kind of in my blood. I knew I could make good money at it. I'd eventually get, you know, licensed to be a plumber, and I'd be, you know, I'd make a good living for my family. So I was okay with shutting it down. And so, you know, I don't even know how I explained to you that it was over, Elite, the facility. And maybe you just knew yourself. Maybe, I don't even know if we talked about it. I might have just been like, hey, it's...
Yeah, kind of go back, though, to where everything started, because this was going on while you owned Elite.
Right. That's what I was going to get to. I was kind of setting it up because I didn't want to admit what actually had happened, but I had an extreme gambling addiction. And that, you know, was by far one of the hardest things that I've ever had to go through. Well, one of the hardest things I've ever had to go through. I was making, you know, there were months in the baseball business where you would make $20,000. Mm-hmm. Well, that was unheard of for us.
Yeah.
We needed like $2,500 right. and we would make it every month. You know, it wasn't some big deal. We didn't have to have just like tons and tons of money.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I've got all this extra money. Forget saving. What am I going to do? I'm going to try to make more off of it. I'm going to go and gamble. I'm going to go see what I can do. And so I got extremely addicted to table games, you know, blackjack specifically, but, you know, other games too occasionally. And we would go... I would go early in the morning. I would, you know, tell Katie, hey, I'm going into work. I'd be leaving at like, 4:30, 5 in the morning?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it took me about 2.5 hours to get to where I went, the casino I went to. I would, maybe three, whatever. I would drive down there. I would take a shift of gambling. I would gamble for, I would play, you know, blackjack for hours, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours straight, not move off the table, maybe to go eat lunch. And then I would, the whole time, you thought I was at work.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'd convinced myself I was working.
Yeah.
But I ended up, I ended up driving back home that same night. I was exhausted, but you didn't expect me home till like 10 o'clock that night anyway, so it wasn't a big deal, and I got to do what I wanted to do, and I was happy, and you didn't care, you know, yeah. It seemed like, so I thought.
Because I thought you were at work.
Right. and I was still bringing home, I was still paying bills, you know, right. stuff was getting paid, so it didn't matter. And I think that, I will say, you know, I'm not taking away, I've had an extreme problem, but somehow I was able to navigate this extreme addiction without really...
Well, because like, then I would have known.
Right.
If bills weren't paid, then I would have known something was up.
Right. Like, I always paid. Like, the bills got paid. That was never an issue.
Yeah.
Now, we eventually, we had to downsize, like we said. So, that so things start catching up. We close Elite, and I kind of use that as, you know, the reason that, hey, look, we need to downsize to this little house that we found for rent. Like we told you all, it was like a Cracker Jack box. It was tiny. And we're going to move in there, and we're going to save money for a couple of years, and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to take all that savings and, you know, buy us a house.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a solid plan. Well, things started getting, like, hostile between us. Like, I was going to work for my uncle, and, you know, it was just like, I guess because I was spending more time, and you were kind of realizing, you were able to see a lot more of me,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to when I was doing the baseball stuff, you were able to see a lot more of me and kind of analyze some things, and I think that that was probably working on you a little bit, and, you know, so I let it build up and build up and build up, and then we kind of had a fallout one day that it was just like, you know, had you already discovered before I went to Las Vegas, had you already discovered that I was?
Yeah. So, I had started going to this gym, and, there was a girl there who saw me. I didn't know her, but she knew me, and we had a mutual friend. Well, she came to the mutual friend and said, "Hey, is this Katie Colby's wife?" And she was like, "Yeah, that's her. Why?" She was like, "I don't think she knows this from what my husband has said, but her husband Colby gambles with my husband." So this girl I didn't know came to a mutual friend and said, "Hey, Katie's husband gambles." Like, I had no idea what was going on. Right. This girl knew me from her husband.
Right.
And so I was like, "Wait, what is going on?" Because I knew you had done it a few times, and I wasn't okay with it.
Right, yeah.
And so, of course, you're like, "You know, I'm not going to do that anymore. Whatever."
Right.
So I believed you. And then I find this out, and it really caught me off guard. Like, I was like, "What is going on?"
Yeah.
So then,
confronted me about it.
Yes. And
I don't even remember. I'm sure. Did I lie to you?
Well,
I can't remember.
Yeah. So I think you did. You did, because we stood in the kitchen and I said, "You have got to look me in the eyes and swear that you, on our marriage, you will never do this again." And you looked me in the eyes and you said, "I swear yeah. I will never do this again."
Yeah, I do. I remember that.
So a few weeks, or maybe days up to weeks, I think it was a few weeks later. I don't know if you remember this. You and your friend, you said your friend broke down on the interstate.
Yes.
And you had to go help him with a tire.
Yeah.
Y'all, this was at like midnight. Colby left me and the kids at home to go help his friend. Okay, I'm not going to say no. You need to go help your friend, you know.
Right, yeah. You were suspicious, though.
Yes, I was. I was suspicious. I was like, "What? I'm just, the stuff wasn't lining up." Well, then you end up, like, it was like 2 hours later. So now we're like talking 2 a.m. And then I'm like, "What is going on?" You're like, "We're trying to fix it. We can't get it fixed. Like, it's not working. Blah, blah, blah." Just all the stuff. Well, then a few hours later, you stop answering your phone. I can't get in touch with you. I'm sitting here like 4 a.m. Have no idea where you are. You left to go help someone with a tire. I'm just like, I mean, I completely lost it.
Mm-hmm.
We were living beside my parents. Our new house was beside my parents that we moved into. And so I called my mom and she came over, and I mean, I just lost it. I literally couldn't breathe because I was so angry I think it just pissed me, like, obviously that you lied to me, but that you left me and our two kids at home.
Right.
You know? So I was just freaking out. And that, this whole time, like, the depression and anxiety were come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when it hit, like, I just immediately was so low. And, like, I had thoughts that I had never thought before about, like, well, what if I did this? What if I did that? Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew, like, okay, this is not okay.
Right.
And I had to truly admit, okay, like, I'm depressed.
Right.
When I had those thoughts. And it was, honestly, I tell this to people all the time. Going through this was harder than going through you cheating on me.
Yeah.
Because I think we overcame so much, and it's just like you straight up looked me in the face and told me you were done.
Yeah.
And it happened again.
Yeah, and it did.
And so finally you come back home, and was this when I told you we needed to, like, you needed to go and figure out what's going on with yourself, or when was that?
No, it wasn't. You basically told me, like, look, you're basically like, I've got a lot of stuff to figure out. You've got a lot of stuff to figure out. You were like, it's, let's work. Like, we're going to get through it, but I just don't really want to. I think you were to a point where I think you just didn't even really know what to say.
Yeah.
You didn't really want to talk about it at the time. And,
yeah.
And so, I don't remember. How long was it between then and Vegas?
I don't know, honestly. I remember the big events that happened, but I don't know the timeline.
Yeah, right. Either way, fast
not
forward.
Not long.
Not long. Either way, we were still going through it, fast forward, and I was still just so addicted to gambling, and even through that, me telling you that I wasn't gambling, I was still, you know, doing some basement poker runs and stuff like that. Like, I was still playing. I wasn't necessarily going to the casinos, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week like I was, but I was still gambling to a degree, throwing hundreds of dollars away every week. And so, you know, It was not long after all of that, though, that a friend of mine, he was going to Las Vegas, and he was taking his son for his birthday, and for his 21st birthday. And I remember, you know, he had asked me months before. I mean, they had it planned.
Yeah.
And I remember telling him, like, you know, like, yeah, or not months, weeks before. And I think, so, and that's when we were going through, that's when all this was kind of starting to happen. And I think that's what, because I remember telling him no, I was like, Katie will kill me.
Well, I mean, because we had talked about it. And
right.
I was like, heck no.
Right. So I was like, Katie will kill me, I can't go. And it, you know, as well. I don't remember what transpired, what, like, I'm thinking back to the exact day that I left. And I want to say, we had gotten into an argument about something.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about gambling. It was something unrelated.
Yeah.
And I just remember saying, I'm done. Forget this. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to relieve stress the only way I know how to relieve stress.
Yeah.
I was like a drug addict waiting for his next hit. Like, you know, it was crazy. So I knew that they were leaving, like, the day it was, like, this fight happens, and I knew, like, that night or early the next morning that my friend was leaving for Las Vegas. And it's all I could think about. So I remember calling him at, like, 5 o'clock the night before, or the evening before they were going to leave, and I remember saying, hey, is it too late? Can I still go? And he was like, no, great, you know. He was like, you sure it's okay with your wife? Like, everything's good? And I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. No big deal. We've talked it over. So he got me, he paid, you know, or he handled the plane ticket and, you know, the hotel and all that. So none of that cost me any money. I got to just take like an entire paycheck with me, and I just picked up some money from. I was still doing a little bit with baseball just in my spare time, and I picked up some money there too, and so I had a lot of money on me. So I just remember, saying, "Yeah, forget it, I'll go." And I came home. I told you straightforward I was leaving. I didn't necessarily tell you. I didn't tell you where I was going. I just remember telling you, hey, me and my friend are, or I'm going to go with my friend who, by the way, is a pilot, which you knew that, but I was like, he's, you know, he's going on a trip. I'm just going to go. And, you know, which was totally unbelievable, but I just was coming up with something.
I thought I don't know. I thought you said you had to take them to the airport.
No. Okay. I said I was going.
I just don't remember.
I said I was going. I was going to go. And so what I did is you were not happy, but I basically just turned my phone off and ignored most of what you were saying.
Yeah.
I would occasionally respond to let you know I was okay, but I wasn't giving you a whole lot of responses.
Yeah.
And so I leave for Vegas. How many days? I was going 5 days, 4 days?
Four, I think.
4 days. I come home. When I get home, I knew better than to call you to come pick me up from the airport, because I got home before my friends stayed another day or so, and I came on back.
And this whole time, I'm trying to figure out where in the heck my husband went.
Right.
You
finally figured it out.
So when you left, I think it was probably the next day, I messaged the guy you're with, his wife.
Right.
I was like, hey, is Colby with them? She was like, yeah, you didn't know? Like, he said it was fine. I was like, I had no idea.
Right.
And so when you were gone, I was sitting there having to plan out how I was going to support myself and two kids when I was a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
When you were gone, I had gone to the bank, set up a new bank account. I had to where I could keep up with the money, because I knew at this point, like, this gambling addiction is legit. Like, you're in deep.
Right.
And so I set up a bank account where I could do that. I was trying to find a job, like, thinking about how I could handle childcare and a job. I had all these things running through my mind.
Right.
And it was a lot. Like, not only that, then being, like, pissed at you.
Right.
And I couldn't even talk to you because you just wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I come home and fully expect for it to just be like every other time that I've screwed up. Yeah, we'll fight, we'll argue for about a day, and then, you know, I'll beg and plead and tell her how sorry I am, and everything will go back to normal. And so, you know, that wasn't the case. I remember coming home, and my friend needed some help. I had another friend that needed some help moving, so I helped him move, and he picked me up from the airport. I went straight to his new apartment, helped him out there, and then he brought me home. To which you were there, and you and the kids were there, obviously, because it was your home. And we talked, and you were fairly calm. I mean, you told me how you felt. I mean, you were very stern for the first time. You weren't just... I could tell things were different. You weren't just going to be okay with, you know...
Well, because I had days to think about this.
You weren't just going to take a regular old, hey, I'm sorry, I won't do this again.
Yeah.
And you told me to leave. You told me that I didn't need to stay there, that you needed some time, and that you didn't want me there.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I went through a lot of different emotions. I left that night, but the next night it was like, you know, I, like, refused to leave. I, like, came back and, like, was like, no, this is my house. I'm paying for it. I'm staying here.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to play, you know, hardball, I guess, and be, like, this big, bad wolf or whatever, and just say, no, I control everything, and try to be, like, an alpha male. And that still didn't work. You still didn't buy that. You were like, fine, we'll leave.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, like, all I need is just... give me a day or so with Katie and the kids, and I'll fix everything.
Right.
It was never like that. This whole process wasn't like that. And this is where my life truly changed. You told me that you said, until you figure yourself out and get your help, the help that you need, you know, you're not, you can't be, you can't give me basically what you need. You know, right. You're like, you can't give me what I need.
Yeah.
And you can't support your family and you can't lead your family.
Yeah.
And you were right. So I hit rock bottom. That was rock bottom for me. And so it was very, you know, it was hard, but it was necessary.
And also during this time, like, I was still seeking the Lord on what to do. I was still seeking, like, godly counsel on this. And right. Just, I knew that I couldn't just forgive you and move on.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that God was saying, hey, you, like, this is a important moment in his life right now. And if you don't stand up and be stern, it's not going to help him.
Right.
You know, like, I had to do this to help you. Right. And I knew that God was telling me that, like, you've got to step back and let him do his own thing right now.
Right. And so, like I said, I mean, this is rock bottom for me. And I finally decided to start putting some trust in God. I'm like, all right, look, obviously I can't handle this. I remember sitting in the house by myself. Y'all weren't there. I felt abandoned, left, and I felt like I had no one.
Yeah.
Absolutely no one. And this is, what year is this? What, I mean, this is
2017.
Okay. So this is March of 2017 is when this was. And it was very, I just remember, again, alone.
Well, no, maybe it was 2018. Yeah, because Oliver was older than 3 months.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
absolutely. It was 2018.
March 2018.
18, yeah.
Yes.
So,
because it was just, it's been 2 years.
Right. So, I just remember, again, I'm alone, I'm abandoned, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, and I have nowhere to turn, so I turn to God.
Yeah.
And all I can say is that the only regret I have is that was my last resort.
Right.
Because if I would have known how easy that was,
mm-hmm.
I would have done it long ago. So I start really, you know, seeking God. You know, I'm like feeling like a total newbie. I'm downloading this Bible app and I'm scrolling through and I'm reading these plans. I'm like, this is awesome. And I'm like, you know, but I also didn't want to seem corny and just start saying something. I didn't know, like, lingo and how do you, I like to feel like I know what I'm talking about. And, you know, so I didn't want to just sound stupid. So I didn't talk about it a whole lot, but I was getting into it. And I was really, really trying to learn more and dive in and really just trust more. And so it took a long time to get to a spot where I was comfortable, you know, enough to feel like I could lead my family again. And so in the midst of all that, you know, you guys come back home. And I don't remember necessarily how long that was. I would say about a week y'all were gone, right?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was a week, maybe 4 days.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, I'm like, you know, so you guys come back and I'm still not really talking to you a whole lot about it. I mean, I think you might be seeing that I'm trying a little bit more as far as my relationship with God, but you know, I was trying to walk that out and still didn't want to trust him in certain areas, but I was definitely turning over the gambling addiction
right.
to him, and I'm like, Lord, you can handle this.
Yeah, and I noticed something, but I still didn't think it was genuine. I didn't think it was real.
We had a right to be skeptical.
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, I remember you were, like, highlighting these verses on the Bible app and stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, look at him. He's just trying to, like, act like he's changed. And, I mean, I remember thinking that, like, this is not real.
Right. Yeah, a little too good to be true.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really start trusting the Lord and, you know, in all areas, like I said, and especially the gambling thing. But then I'm like, all right, so our marriage and, you know, our finances and our children and just our friendships and just everything. So I'm really giving him all of it, and more than I ever had, maybe not quite all of it, because I think to a degree, just human nature is we hold a little bit back, and we shouldn't, but we do. But yeah, so I'm really starting to trust God, and things are looking right. And tell them about it, man.
And this whole time, here you are, finally trusting the Lord, finally growing your relationship with Him, all the things I longed for however many years. Here it is. It's here now. And I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So you're over here growing, and this is a changing point for me, where I'm kind of like, okay, now, like, I've had the control this whole time, and now I'm like, God's in control, and I don't really know if I like that. Like, I want to be able to say, like, Colby, you need to do this or that. You know, like, I wanted to control you. And it was kind of weird, like, here you are stepping up to lead the family when this whole time I've been leading, I just didn't know how to act, honestly. So it kind of came where I'm like, okay, God, like, I'll trust you with everything else, but I don't really trust you with Colby.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of a turning point for me where I had to do a lot of digging, a lot of seeking Him to heal me of that, because it was rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine. I mean, we've talked about this 100 times, and I think this is a good place. I think, you know, we had hoped we would get through our story in 3 parts, but it's not happening. So
nope.
I think this is a good spot to kind of, we see just some, you know, to recap, another big speed bump, another big, you know, roadblock in our marriage with this gambling addiction and everything. And then, what do you do, guys? I mean,
this is life with 3 kids. I'm so sorry.
But anyway, so we finally, you know, we have this roadblock, and like I said, now there's some forgiveness now, and it's just awesome. It's really cool to see, you know, us starting to get to the other side of all of this and a new life myself. It's just incredible. So I was really thankful for all of that.
Yeah, I definitely, I'm excited to share what's to come.
Yeah.
It's still a lot we have to work through, but this is where, like I say, our marriage finally starts.
This is where we find a true purpose in our marriage, and we start finding appreciation for each other. And
yeah,
this is, things really do turn around here.
This is where we say, me and you tell each other all the time, we didn't truly fall in love with each other until what, 6 years into our marriage?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, I loved you, no doubt, but I just, and I'll say this, I think that's because I didn't truly love myself.
Yeah.
So I couldn't truly love you.
Right.
Deeply. I surface level loved you. And I loved you because you were the mother of my kids. But until I learned to love myself, I really wasn't able to love you. And so through coming to know Jesus and trusting God, I was able to better love myself, which made me better love you.
Yeah, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who's listened and messaged me. Like, I'm just so appreciative of all of that, all of support. It's just made me super thankful over the past few weeks. But yeah, we're going to end here, and we'll catch y'all next week with part 4.
Bye, guys.